Randy's message is going to be talking about water. How many of you are grateful for water? Without water, we would not be alive. We don't live in water, but we need water to survive. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 107. If you notice in the second verse of this psalm, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So when I read that, I would like you all to respond by reading the first verse again, because that's what the second verse is talking about. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town, hungry and thirsty." You get the image? "Their souls fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things." Blessings to you, Randy.
Thank you, Chris, for reading that and having a little spoiler alert for the sermon here with water. And the way that I decided to preach on water this morning was that I was on vacation this past week in the right south of the Outer Banks in Topsail, North Carolina. So I was intentional to prepare my sermon a week before so I didn't have to do it on during vacation. And I thought, hey, if I'm going to be in North Carolina for a week by the ocean, let's incorporate the theme of water. And this morning, if you would look at the lectionary texts for today, all of them incorporate, in some way, the theme of water as well. And for those of us who are visual learners, the front of the bulletin has also an image of water. This week at the on the vacation, it was with Emily's extended family, the Minninger family. I made it a personal goal of mine to be active and to try to get out and exercise each day. And let me tell you what, it was a good 100 degrees most of those days down there, or high 90s, and it was extremely hot. And as I was running, I was just feeling the heat coming onto me. And incredible amounts of sweat that was dripping. And in fact, I'm a little thirsty right now just thinking about it, so. Ah, water. Tastes so good. So this morning, as we think about water and how we find God in the water, I would invite us to join me as we think about sweating and being thirsty in God's kingdom. The context in this text this morning is, well, this is a psalm, so that's important to understand the type of literature. But this psalm is referencing an historical event in Israel. The context is that Israel has been led out of exile. And the response of the people is a hymn of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God for deliverance from slavery and bondage, deliverance from sometimes not having enough food, deliverance from sometimes not having enough water. This is a hymn of thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And there's three main parts to this psalm. The first is an introduction in verses 1 to 3. And this introduction establishes the theme of thanksgiving for deliverance. And then in verses 4 to 32, it's the main body of the psalm. And there's four parallels or images of how we can understand God's steadfast love. And this morning we're just looking at one of those images, which is being lost in the desert and being thirsty, and God's provision of that thirst and hunger. That's in verses 4 to 9. But there's also three other images in this psalm. Being prisoners, being ill, and being in a storm at sea. And in each one of these images, we get a picture of God's steadfast love. So after each one of these sections, it repeats this theme of thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And so as we see these four different themes, I invite us this morning to also have a spirit of thankfulness, an opportunity to give thanks for God's love, and we can especially try to do that this morning through the symbol of water. I'd invite us to think about it in four different points that I will use to explain this. The first one is that water reminds us of God's faithfulness. The second point, water reminds us of those who are also thirsty around us. The third, water reminds us of ways that we can serve one another. And fourth, water reminds us to be thankful. So the first point, water reminds us of God's faithfulness. This section will be a little bit more intellectual, a little bit more academic, digging into the text. If that's what you really get energy out of, go to seminary. If it's not what you get energy out of, then just bear with me in this section. But as you really start to dig into the text and you really explore the Hebrew words, you realize just how complex. And when you start to go into the original language of these words, sometimes we forget that this has all been translated into English. And it can't fully capture the original language. So that's what this will do in this section a little bit. Water reminds us of God's faithfulness. In this introductory section, in verses 1 to 3 of this song, there is a call to praise in verse 1. And then, after that call to praise, there is an admonishment to those redeemed by God to confess their redemption. And so verse 1 is as basic and essential a call and statement that at the heart of it is a statement of the human relationship to God. This is our relationship to God and the call for us to give thanks to the Lord, to God, for he has been good. With the NRSV, which is the translation that I often use, the NRSV takes 16 words to translate 7 words in Hebrew. And one of those 7 is chesed, which the NRSV translates as steadfast love. Chesed is the word expressing God's fundamental covenant relationship to Israel. And its meaning is difficult to capture adequately in English. And so we see different English Bibles using a variety of translations in different contexts. But some of the different words that this means in English is steadfast love, loving kindness, love, kindness, mercy, loyalty, favor, devotion, goodness. The assurance in verse 1 is that this quality of God is eternal. God will never abandon Israel. And that really sets the foundation for this psalm. That even as Israel is in exile, and truly, like, their physical needs are in question at times, that God still loves them and will bring them out of that captivity into new hope and wholeness. The faithfulness of God's love. This past week, as I was out in the ocean, one of the things that we became aware of was when there was a low tide and when there was a high tide. And we had an activity one of the evenings on the beach, and we were actually making candles on the beach. And one of the things that we had to be aware of was that we were doing it at high tide. And so as we were making our candles in the beach, some of them got a little bit too close to the ocean, and we had our holes dug. If you ever made a sand candle, you dig a hole in the sand, and you make a certain shape, and then you pour wax into the sand, and you make a candle out of it. It's really cool. But some people had their candles too close, and that high tide was coming in, and we had to build these barriers around the candles to protect them from the high tide. But the faithfulness of the tide, every morning you can know that there's going to be a low tide, and every evening you know there's going to be a high tide. The water nobody ever questioned if the tide would be high or low or when that would happen. You don't question whether the tide's going to come or not. You know high tide will come and low tide will come. And that is a parallel to how God's faithful love is. That even when we question, where is God, or I don't know if I always experience or know, feel God's love as closely as other times, I think this text this morning can remind us that even when we don't always maybe experience or feel God's love as closely, God's love always endures. One of these seven words translated chesed, steadfast love. Just as the tide is faithful, so is God's chesed. God's steadfast love endures forever. Secondly, water reminds us of those around us who are thirsty. I take it for granted that I have a water bottle here of clean drinking water. And the reality is that 1 in 9 people around the world lack clean water each day. That's 750 million people. Diarrhea is caused by inadequate drinking water. Sanitation and hand hygiene kills an estimated 842,000 people every year globally, or approximately 2,300 people a day, just because they don't have access to this. And in our text today, it talks about folks who are wandering in the desert. This is Israel. Being thirsty and walking. And as I read that text, I couldn't help but think about people right now who are on the Mexico-U.S. border who are walking in the desert. Literally, right now. They're walking in the desert and they're thirsty. I couldn't help but think of even one of my closest friends whose family came here when he was young, who also, his mom had that same experience of walking through the desert. And why? Because she was trying to find a better home. She was trying to find food for her children. They're walking through the desert not because they want to be rebellious, but because they literally are feeling the desperation of not knowing how to care for their family. And so right now there's people walking and they're thirsty. This text this morning can remind us to remember them, to pray for them. I'm also aware that this morning is Refugee Sunday. And if we remember back about 3 months, or maybe 2 months, Christine Baer from Church World Service came and talked about refugees here in Lancaster and the incredible amount of refugees that are coming in. And I just read an article of a Syrian family coming into Lancaster. And this is going to be now, I think, about 50 Syrians coming into Lancaster here. Lancaster has a huge refugee population. And many of these people are coming from places where they didn't have clean drinking water. Now they can find that here. But they bring with them the trauma of the past. We are reminded that not everybody has clean drinking water this morning. But we're also reminded, I think, in this text that thirst has also a spiritual dimension to it. We do have friends, neighbors maybe even, who don't always have clean drinking water. But that's not the only context of thirst. We all, in a sense, have a thirst, a need for a new life in Christ. And I love the image of baptism, which we just had two baptisms here in the past few months, which is a great thing to celebrate. But what does the water represent in baptism? The water represents the need for new life in Christ. That, in a sense, there's something dying to our own desires, our own flesh, our own sin, our own individualism or materialism, whatever it is that needs to die. And that water that's being poured down over us represents Christ cleansing, Christ the living water. And in that water, there is new life. There is, a new resurrection. And so the water this morning can represent all of us who are thirsty and need Christ's cleansing water in our lives. And the thirst this morning, I think, can also represent hardships that we're going through. And I'm glad that Chris talked about the Charlestown, South Carolina, in lighting the peace candle. They are thirsting right now for healing and hope in South Carolina, Charleston. The incredible grief, the unimaginable brokenness for those 9 people who lost their lives and their families who are grieving, and the church. And I know that I am also thirsting for the healing of systemic and systems of racism that still exists in our society, of hate and violence that divides us. This morning we have an opportunity to be together, the gathered body of Christ, and to say that this is not the way it's supposed to be, that in God's kingdom, it's a kingdom of love and reconciliation over race and culture. That in God's kingdom, we are unified in Christ. And so as they are thirsting right now in South Carolina, can we hold them up in prayer and try to walk with them in whatever way we can? Chesed, God's steadfast love, endures forever. Water, third point, reminds us of ways that we can serve. In Matthew 10:42, we have a picture of Jesus who talks about water. It says, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master." This is talking about rewards. I'll start in verse 40. "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. And as I read that text, I'm also reminded of the text where Jesus is at the well, and a Samaritan woman gives Jesus a cup of cold water. Even Jesus received a cup of cold water. And so this morning, as we think about water, we can think of how we can serve one another by giving a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. This summer, we're thinking about how we see God at work in the world around us and in our community. And there's two examples that I want to point out of where we see God at work through the context of water. The first one is an initiative through Mennonite Central Committee. And in Kaya, Mozambique, there's a huge need for clean drinking water. Again, just the things that we take for granted each day, to go to that faucet and turn on the water. But in Mozambique, there's a need for clean drinking water and for good wells as well. And so volunteers through Mennonite Central Committee and through church members in Mozambique came together and they built these wells. And the goal was to provide reliable sources of safe drinking water close to home. But Mennonite Central Committee knew that it's not enough just to go there and build the wells. But they also helped the community there to learn how to build wells so that they could have clean water. And that once Mennonite Central Committee leaves, they could continue to maintain them after the project is complete. It's a real-life example of giving a cup of cold water to those in need. The second example I think we can find right here in our own community. And that is something right now that's happening at the Conestoga Valley Christian Community Services. And this summer, there's a summer lunch program, and there's an email sent out that Lisa sent out, and she's trying to get volunteers to help with. And the goal there is, just as in this text in the Psalms talks about those who are hungry and thirsty, well, we have kids in our own neighborhood who are hungry and thirsty. And we have an opportunity to be the body of Christ for them. And so there's different places that there's going to be the lunch happening. If you want to go and help to prepare the meal, you can do that at the Conestoga Valley Christian Community Center. If you want to go and help and serve the meal, there's four different locations that you can go and help to do that too. So here's a practical way of where we see God at work in our community, to give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. If you want more details about that, you can contact me or Lisa, and it's not too late to sign up. So, how are we thinking about giving a cup of cold water to others in Jesus' name? And the fourth and final place, I know there'd be many more parallels to water that you could dig into, but the fourth one for this morning is that water gives us an opportunity to simply give thanks. Thank you, God, for this water. Thankfulness is an antidote to division. When we feel an impulse to divide, we could do well to focus on what we are thankful for. What brings us together? What we share in common? And then let's give thanks to God for that. Right now, there's quite a bit of tension, obviously, in the conference and the denomination over different issues. And this text this morning reminds me just to first be thankful. Let's be thankful for what we have. Let's be thankful for what we can take for granted each day. And I just wonder if the more that we focus on that, the less we will be inclined to want to divide. One of the challenges that I want to give myself this week is that every time I drink water, to say a prayer of thanks to God for the actual clean water, but then for everything else in my life to thank God for His love. This psalm is a hymn of thanksgiving. And so it's one way to thank God. Sometimes I think in my prayers it can quickly become a laundry list of everything that I'm asking God for. And that's not to say that we shouldn't do that. God says, bring your petitions to God. But what if we would start our prayers first and foremost with thanksgiving? Thank God for who He is, for His love, for Jesus, for the things that we can take for granted each day. And what if even my only prayer would be a prayer of thanksgiving once in a while? Just thank you, God. This morning, as we think about water and gratefulness and thankfulness, I'm asking the question to all of us, what are we thankful for? And each of us can think of our different things. How has God been a part of that? And as we think about what we're thankful for, we can also think about those that don't have everything that we can take for granted sometimes. Whether that's family and friends, a house, food, clothing, a social security number, a car, gas, a job. Maybe it's as simple as a cup of cold water. This week I would encourage us to go with a spirit of thankfulness to what God is doing in your life. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this text in the Psalms, for the emphasis on thanksgiving, and the way that you provided healing and hope for Israel, bringing them out of captivity, and for your steadfast love that endured for them. And God, we are a part of that same story. We are a part of the story of your love that endures forever. And I thank you that we can experience your love right now in our lives. And God, I thank you also for this clean drinking water that we can easily take for granted. And I do pray for those around the world that don't have that right now. Would you give us eyes and ears and creativity to think about how we can serve a cup of cold water in your name and give you thanks along the way? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.